They were beginning here on the bottom of Yudkadam and Bet, three lines from the bottom. Gemara brings Rami de Rabbi Yochanan ad Rabbi Yochanan, Rami de Reish Lakish ad Reish Lakish. We are asking a question on their positions here with regards to Yediyah Misafek. We just saw the machloka between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, which parallels the machloka between Rabbi Zera and Rava, as to whether Yediyah Misafek, having something or knowledge of something Misafek, is sufficient to create a division for Chataot. Does that break up a halam achat? And therefore, you'd have to bring multiple chataot. Reish Lakish, similar to Rabbi Zera, believes that yediyot safek are sufficient grounds for dividing up and making it a separate chataot when you finally get a yediyah basof that you did something wrong. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan and Rava believe that yediyot safek are not sufficient to create a division, and therefore it's all one halam achat, and you'd only bring one chatat in that case. Even though, according to Rabbi, you would possibly bring a number of ashamot if they were violations b'safek. The Gemara wants to challenge this view of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish from another position where we see Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish seems to take the opposite positions. Titanya, Eve Breita. Shnei Shvilim, Echad Tameh, Vechad Tor. You have two paths. One of them is Tameh, one of them is Tor. Balach Berishon. He went on one of them. V'lo nichnas, and he doesn't enter into the mikdash. Bisheni, then he walks down the second path. V'nichnas, and then enters into the mikdash. Chayav, in that case he is chayav. Basically, it's a mimanavshach. He went down both paths, and so he, mimanavshach is tamei at this point, because he walked down the path that was tamei, because one of the two were tamei, and he walked both of them. He only entered into the mikdash after he had walked both of the paths. So for sure he's Tameh, he's entering into the Mikdash, that's Tumat Mikdash Mekodoshav, and he should be Chayav, a Kurban, Olevi Yoreid. Halach Berishon V'nichnas. If he walked down the first path, and then entered into the Mikdash, Patur, in that case, of course he's Patur, because he's Bisafik. It's unclear as to whether he went down a path that was Tameh. Basheni V'nichnas, he walks down the second path, and then enters Chayav. In that case he is Chayav. Here, the only difference between this and the first case is whether he entered in the interim, but irrespective of entering in the interim, by the time he enters after walking the second path, he's mimonav shach tamei, and therefore he is chayav ekurban olev yoreid. Halach berishon v'nichnas, he went in down the first path, then entered into the mikdash, v'hiza, he had the sprinkling of the para duma put on him, we're assuming here that it was tumata meit, along the way that he was ma'il on, v'hiza, v'shana, did it the third day, the seventh day, v'tabal, went to the mikveh on the seventh day, v'alach v'sheni, then only afterwards does he walk down the second path, v'nichnas, then enters into the mikdash, chayav. According to the Tanakhama, over here he is chayav, even mi menafshach, because he entered after he went down the first path, he entered after he went down the second path. The only difference here is that in the interim, he became tahor. He was mitahir himself between the first path and the second path. Obviously, misafek, he's being mitahir himself. So that, according to the Tanakhama, makes no difference. And therefore, in all three of these scenarios, the Tanakhama believes that you are chayav, because mimanavshach, you were entered into the mikdash while you were tamei. In the first two scenarios, you did it without any Tara in between, and in the third scenario, you did it with Tara in between. Rabbi Shimon poter b'zo. Rabbi Shimon is poter in this instance, meaning that third instance, Rabbi Shimon says you are patur, because of the interruption, and we'll have to see why, the interruption of the Tara that takes place, because you need a yediyah b'tchila u'basof, you need to know in the beginning, know in the end, ve'alam b'taim, and forgetting in between. And over here, you have a remembering in between, and therefore you have an issue. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda poter bikulan mishum Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, says that in all of these scenarios, 1 through 3, he is poter. So, in the first version, the Tanakhama's version of this, Rabbi Shimon's only poter in that third case, whereas according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, he's even poter in the first two cases where there was no interruption in between them, and yet there he is patur according to Rabbi Shimon in the version of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. So the question, of course, is, Why would that be? It makes sense when you're talking about the third case, as Rashi explains over here, that they are considered to be two tumult in that third case, and in each one he entered separately, and you could say this one is the Torah one, or this one is the Torah, and therefore he has no yidiyah vadayit mitchila. He doesn't have a yidiyah beforehand where he knows there's tuma, and then he has a yidiyah afterwards where he knows that he did something that was wrong. In the first two scenarios, he knew that there was a tamei path here. He crosses that tamei path for certainty, and afterwards he becomes aware of the fact that he entered on the tuma path, because miman of shach, he entered on one of those two paths. In the third scenario, that's not necessarily true, because he knew there was a tamei path, but he had no idea which of the two. So when he walked down the first path, he knew there was a tamei path. He walks down the first path, remembers afterwards, becomes tahor. And similarly, he does it with the second path. But in neither of those two cases is he certain beforehand that there's tumah, and certain afterwards that there's tumah. Because each one of them stands as an independent safek in that scenario. And that's why Rabbi Shimon would be poter. As opposed to the Tanakamu, who says, mimonam shach, you went down the path. So yeah, maybe it's not a diavadait, but you know for certain, after the fact, after the two scenarios, that you did cross through the path. Now in the first two cases, it's clear there that you had an idea beforehand, that there's something tamei. You went through both paths, and then you entered the Mikdash. Then we know for certain you crossed over Tuma, and now we also know for certainty afterwards that you are tamei. So in that case, the Tanakhama says that you are Chayav, and he thinks Rabbi Shimon agrees. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehuda comes along and says, even in the first two cases, he is Poter. And the Gemara says, Vafilu Bekamaita, even in the first two cases, he's going to be Poter. Over there, we know for sure he went through a path that's Tamei. Why would Rabbi Shimon be Mitaher in that scenario? Amar Rava. So Rava explains it. Hacha Ma'eskinan. What's the scenario here? Gon Shalach Birishon. He went down the first path. Ubishati Lucho B'Sheni Shachach Shalach Birishon. When he walks down the second path, he forgets that he already walked down the first path. Ubahat Lige. And here is your Machloket. Tanakama Savar. Miktzat yidiyah, kidiyah damyo, that a partial yidiyah is a sufficient yidiyah. Rabbi Shimon Safar, miktzat yidiyah, lab kidiyah damyo, that a partial yidiyah is not sufficient over here. So when he is walking down the second path, even though we know for sure it's tumah vadayit, because he walked down the first path and the second path, but he forgot in the interim that he had gone down the first path. So now when he's walking down the second path, he has partial knowledge about what he is doing, but he's missing the totality of the picture because you have miksat yidiyah. He knows he's walked down the second path, but he forgot that he walked down the first path. Is that miksat yidiyah sufficient over here to make him chayav, or is it not sufficient to make him chayav? We require, as Rashi has already noted here, that by Tumat Mikdash V'Kadoshav, you need Yediyah B'Tchila. Because in each of the cases it says, V'Ne'elam Mimenu. He forgot. You can only forget if you knew something beforehand. So, if you know something beforehand, then you can forget it. What do you need to know beforehand? So here, it seems that Rabbi Shimon requires a Yediyah Vadait. You need to know for certain that you are Tamei, or that you're going to be entering to something Tamei. And then afterwards, you have to have that knowledge as well, that you did something or walked through something that was tamei. Over here, you have somewhat of a failing in that area, because, especially in the third case, you have no idea whether you're walking down a tamei path, because each one of them stands as an independent safek, and you're looking at them independently. In the first two scenarios, you are standing beforehand, and afterwards, beforehand you knew one of the two paths was tamei, and you crossed that path for sure, then you did have a yediyah b'tchila. In this scenario, what Rava enters into the fray to explain why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehuda believes Rabbi Shimon will be boter even in the first two cases, is what he calls yediyah b'miktzat. You knew before you entered into the first one that one of the two paths was tamei. You forgot about it, you crossed over the path, or you forgot that you were tamei and entered into the mikdash. Then you walk down the second path, but when you're walking down the second path, you know there's a possibility that the second path was tamei, but you forgot that you'd ever gone down the first path. So now, when you are going to enter into the Mikdash, you only remembered beforehand that you walked the second path, you don't remember that you walked the first bath. Then you forgot and entered into the Mikdash. Is that Yediyah? But Mikzah, sufficient grounds to say that you have Yediyah, V'ne'alam, and then Yediyah. That's the question the Gemara is asking. And Rova says that's the Machloket between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanna Kamma, according to Rabbi Shimon by Yehuda. So Amar Mar, now the Gemara goes back to look at the Braita. Halach v'rishon v'nichnas, v'iza v'shana v'tabal. He went into the first one. He got a full tahara. V'alach v'sheni, and then he went through the second one. V'nichnas, he is chayav. Even though he entered after both paths, but each one was independent because he was mitahar himself in the interim. Amai chayav. Why should you have a chayav there? Halo habile yediyah. He never had a yediyah vada'it over here. In that third scenario, you have a yediyah before the first one, a yediyah before the second one, but you never have a yediyah that you for certain know that there's something tameh that you're going to enter. Your yediyah is always a yediyah safek and not a yediyah vada'it because you entered or you're looking at each path independently, not at the two paths as a whole. So I'm Reish Lakish, Hamani, Rabbi Ishmael, Delo Bayi Yediyah B'Tchila. No problem. That's authored by Rabbi Ishmael, who says that you don't need Yediyah B'Tchila. He has a different drasha for Ne'alam. He learns V'Ne'alam, V'Ne'alam, Tu Halamot, Ne'alam Mi'Migdash, Ne'alam Mi'Tuma. That we learned this in the Masechet Shavuot, that in order to be Chayav for a Korban Olev Yoreid for Tumat Mi'Gdash V'Kodoshav, you can forget one of two things. You can forget that you're entering into the Mikdash. You could forget that you're eating Kodesh. Or you could forget that you're Tameh. You know you're entering the Mikdash. You just forgot that you were Tameh. You know you're eating Kodesh, but you forgot you're Tameh. So that's what he learns from the words V'ne'alam, V'ne'alam. So he doesn't have the word Ne'alam available to teach you that you must have a Yediyah B'Tchila. And given that, he thinks that you don't have a requirement to be a Yediyah B'Tchila. So Reish Lakish says, no problem. Why would the Tanna Kamma over here say you're chayav in this instance, even though you didn't have a yediyah b'tchila? That's Rabbi Ishmael. That's how I solved the problem. Rabbi Yochanan Amar afilu teimer rabbonon. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't have to say it's Rabbi Ishmael, even the rabbonon. Kana su safek yediyah ki yediyah vada'it. Because over here they made a safek yediyah like a yediyah vada'it. And so, just like each of your instances where you're standing before the path, and you're looking at them independently, and each one of them is a safek. Nevertheless, that yediyah b'tchila is sufficient. It's a special din that applies to Tumat Mikdash B'Kodoshav. The only question is, can you extrapolate that din beyond Tumat Mikdash B'Kodoshav? Salkadatcha, so now we think, Kanasu, that here they made a special din with regards to Tumat Mikdash B'Kodoshav, that safek yediyah is sufficient to be deemed a yediyah beforehand. And we're going to extrapolate that to the Kol HaTorah Kula. And this creates the question that we started out today's daf with. It took us a while to get there. But now, Kasha de Rabbi Yochanan ad Rabbi Yochanan. Kasha de Reish Lakish ad Reish Lakish. Now you have a stira in their positions. Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here, by the case of Asham Talui and Chataot, that if you have a safek yediyah between each one of the possible violations, that's not sufficient grounds to create a division between them to say that each one is a separate chatat. So if the individual has a piece of shuman and chelev in front of them, they don't know which one is the shuman, don't know which one is the chelev. Obviously, it's not a case where they had the safek up front, because we saw that Rashi and Tosafot think that that makes it into a mazid. But a case where there were pieces of shuman and chelev, he thought they were both Shuman. He went ahead and ate one of them and finds out afterwards that one of the two of them was Chelev. Now he's Chayav and Asham Talui. He does the same thing again, does the same thing again. Those Yudiyot in between where he gets knowledge of the fact that he might have eaten something that's a fake, are they sufficient Yudiyot to make it that if he finds that at the way in, that all the pieces he ate were chelev, real chelev, does he have to bring a separate chatat on each one of those incidences? Or is it one chatat for all of them because there was never a real yediyah in between? So Rabbi Yochanan says, it's a safek yediyah. Safek yediyah does not create a division. Yet over here, Rabbi Yochanan says, safek yediyah is like a yediyah. By Tumat Mikdash Ukdoshav beforehand, safek yediyah is like a yediyah vada'it. Why over here is he willing to say that a safek idea is idea vada'it? Yet by the case of Hashem Taloi, he's not willing to say that idea safek creates a division for the chataot. Kasha the Reish Lakish and Reish Lakish. Same problem for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish by Tumat Mikdash Vikodoshav says, Safek Yidia doesn't do anything for you. He sets up this scenario as being authored by Rabbi Shmuel because Rabbi Shmuel doesn't require Yidia. He didn't answer like Rabbi Yochanan, Safek Yidia is ki Yidia Badait. Yet over here, by Hashem Taloi, he's telling you that if you have multiple cases of Safek where you have Yidiot, Safek in between, that will also result in multiple Chataot. So he's saying that a Safek Yidia is a Yidia Badait. So now we have a stira in their positions. Now, Gemara, obviously for Rabbi Yochanan is an easy answer, because the Gemara said, Salkadatka. We thought to say, anytime the Gemara says Salkadatka, the way to answer the problem is say, don't think like that, which is, Bishlama, the Rabbi Yochanan Lokasha, Kanasu, Aval Gucholotorakula Lo. It's unique to the case of Tumat, Mikdash, Vikodoshov, but it doesn't have application outside of Tumat, Mikdash, Vikodoshav, my time. So why would you do something different by Tumat Mikdash Vikodoshav versus anywhere else? Hachi gabe tumaktiv, because here by the Tumai writes, v'ne'elam mimenu v'hu tamei. Says that he forgot and he was tamei. Dia di'it be'enami safek chayav chiev kra. Even a dia that has a safek in it, the Torah says you are chayav. But everywhere else in the Torah writes, Oodailab Khatato Asher Khata. He was made aware of the sin that he did. So here you have two different formulations of what the problem is. You did something wrong, and then afterwards you're made aware of the fact that you did something wrong. So in the case of a Khatat, Perek Dalet in Vayikra, for the individual. Nefesh achat techta bishkaga b'amaretz, pasuta achat mimtzot asher mashal utasena v'ashem, o hodai lav chatato asher chata. He is made aware of the sin that he did. So over there, it's very particular that it mentions asher hodai lav chatato. He's made aware of his sin. By Tumat Mikdash v'kodoshav, it doesn't say that. By Tumat Mikdash v'kodoshav, it says, v'ne elam mimenu. He forgot about it. Doesn't say he's made aware of it. It just says, Vitamehu, and he was Tameh. So the Gemara is Middayek from that distinction that there's a different threshold of knowledge that is associated with them. By the case of Chatat, it says, Hoda'ilav. He's made aware, he has the information. On the other hand, by the case of Tuma, it says, V'ne'elam imenu, v'hu Tameh. He forgot about it, and he is Tameh. It doesn't say hoda elav, which means that it doesn't talk about his absolute knowledge about it. It talks about the fact that he was tameh. So that's the difference over here. So v'ne'elam imenu, here he's forgetting v'hu tameh, that he was tameh. He was tameh, but he forgot about it. So that contrast is what makes the difference between the case of a regular chatat or chatat shekola Torah kula, where you need to have a real yediyah. That's why the yidiot safek in between don't do anything for you, because it says, Oodai lav chatato asher chata. You need to be fully aware of the chait that you did in order to make it that you are chayav a chatat. Otherwise, it's still considered to be even ne'elam, that you don't know. That's why yidiot safek is not going to help you. Over here, by Tumat Mikdash, because the Shav says, V'ne'elam imenu hutameh, doesn't require hodai lav, it just says, V'hutameh, and that you have some tumah, or there is tumah associated with you. So there's a freer understanding as to what yediyah you need. You don't need a full-fledged yediyah. Even a yediyah tzafek will be sufficient grounds to make you chayav for tumat mikdash v'kodoshav. When he finds that afterwards, it has the same requirement. When he finds that afterwards, it says v'hitvadash erchata aleha, that he is made aware. So in the knowledge that he requires afterwards, the Kurban Olev Yored has the same standard as chata, which is Ohodai lav chatato. Over here it says, he's made aware of the fact that he did something wrong. Over here, we're speaking about v'ne'elam mimenu, is that he forgot up front, v'hu tameh, and he is tameh. He is tameh, it means that before he forgot, he was tameh. That v'hu tameh is talking about the yediyah b'tchila, what knowledge he had up front. So there, it's missing the word hoda. And since it's missing the word hoda, hutamei means he just has to have knowledge of the fact that he was tamei somewhat, or possibly tamei, or there was tuma in the horizon. Which means that even if he is a safek, when he enters the path, it's going to make him tamei. When he walked the path, he's still not certain if he is tamei. That's enough knowledge that if he enters into the mikdash afterwards, that we're going to hold him culpable if in the totality here he did something wrong because he crossed two paths, that both of them by the end, mimonof shachi is tamei. But that doesn't mean that he needs to have knowledge after each one that he is certainly tamei. He just has to have generic knowledge that he was possibly tamei when he exited each one of those items. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan says that this can even be this position of Tanakama according to the Rabbonin, because a safek yidia over here is a strong enough yidia b'tchila to make it that you're chayav by korban olev yoreh. It happens to be that they're contrasting apples and oranges. They're contrasting yidia after a chatat with yidia before korban olev yoreh. But it's the same thing, because both of them have a requirement for yidia. The contrast shows you that the threshold for yidia by a chatat is much higher than the threshold of yidia that's required by the pre-korban ole v'yoreh. So now, el Reish Lakish, kasho. For Reish Lakish, it's problematic. Ademukim laka Rav Yishmael, why did he set it up like Rav Yishmael, who has no requirement of yidia v'tchila by korban ole v'yoreh? Lukma ka Rabbi. Why didn't he set it up like Rabbi, who over here, according to him, says that a yidia tzafek is sufficient grounds not only to separate for the Hashemot Tluyot, but also for a Chatat Vadai, Chatat Vadait. In that case also, you should have a way to separate through a Yediat Safek. Rabbi believes that over here by the Hashem Taloi and the Chatat. Why doesn't he say the same thing by Korban Olevi Yoreh, by the Helam of the Tuma? Why did he set it up like Yishmael? He could set it up like Rabbi. Now, Tosafot says that you really can't set it up like Rabbi, because even Rabbi has a requirement that you have to have what's called Yediat Beit Rabo. That he doesn't think like Rabbi Yishmael that you have no Yediat at all. He thinks you do need Yediat, just a lower threshold than the Yediat that's required by those that believe you need a full-fledged Yediat beforehand. So Tosafot says he doesn't really mean to set it like Rabbi, because Rabbi has that Shita of Yediat Beit Rabo. And that's why you're chayav over here, because you had yediat rabo, and that's called yediat. What they're saying is, but why don't you set it up like Rabbi? Not like Rabbi, who believes that you had yediat beit rabo is enough, but set it up like Rabbi, who says that a yediat safek is sufficient, even according to those that require a full-fledged yediat over here. You set it up like Rabbi, it should still meet that threshold of a full-fledged yediat. So Mar says, HaKamash Malan, the Rabbi Shmuel Nami, lo bayi yediat betchila. He wanted to teach us, or tell us, that Rabbi Shmuel also doesn't require a yediat b'tchila. Mar says, why do you need to teach us that? Hamatz nitani. It's a straightforward Mishnah. It's not. Rabbi Shmuel omer, v'ne'alam, v'ne'alam, shtei pe'amim. The word ne'alam appears twice in the Parshia. Why is it mentioned twice? The chayev, al he'alam tuma, v'alam mikdash. That's what I noted before. There are two possible things you could forget. You are entering to the mikdash while you are tamei. You can either forget that it was the Mikdash, or you can forget that you were Tameh. That's what he learns. Once he does that, he doesn't have a Ne'alam left over to tell you, you forgot, means that you had Yediyah B'Tchila. He doesn't have an extra Ne'alam for that. Gemara says, Itzrich, Sakadat Chamina Mikra Leitle. I would have thought, you're right, from the Pasuk he doesn't have that din, Migmora Itle. But he has a Mesorah that's the case, or he has some sort of Torah Shebaal Peh that teaches him that din. Not that he learns it directly from the Pesukim, but he has a Mesorah that is the din. Kamash Malan, that he doesn't have that as well. And that Rabbi Shmuel believes that you don't require any Yediyah Mitchila whatsoever. Even though we don't find that Rabbi Shmuel necessarily disagrees with Rabbi. Rabbi says that you do require Yediyah to Beit Rabo. We never find that Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with that. Maybe he has that same requirement. So Tosafot says, Aval Rabbi Shmuel, lo ashkechan v'shum duchta, Dabai diat beit rabo. We don't find anywhere where he says such a thing, and so we're going to assume he doesn't say it. Meaning that we know that Rabbi does say it, and therefore, even though he might darshim ne'alam ve'ne'alam, similar to Rabbi Shmuel, we know that Rabbi has that requirement of diat beit rabo. But Rabbi Shmuel, we never find him with such a position, and therefore we're going to assume that he doesn't require anything whatsoever. Or he should have darshan the similar drusha that everyone else has here, which is ne'alam means you must have known something beforehand. And just the question of what you knew beforehand. Rabbi says, yidiyat beit rabo. Others say it needs to be a full-fledged yidiyah. We never find such a drusha in Rabbi Yishmael's name. And therefore the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Yishmael has no requirement of yidiyah whatsoever. And that's what Rish Lakish is pointing out. Yeah, you're right. We could have used the position of Rabbi that yidiyat safek is considered to be yidiyah over here to solve the problem. But I wanted to teach you also that Rabbi Yishmael has this unusual position that you have no requirement of yidiyah b'tchilah by korban oleh v'yoreid. Right, now we move on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is long, and it has a lot of difficulties in it, and we'll spend time in the Gemara dissecting those issues. Chelev v'notar lefanav. He has chelev and notar, both of which are isurei karet, and if you eat them, b'shogeg, you're going to be chayav chadat. So he has two pieces in front of him, v'chal echad mehem, and he ate one of them. Now clearly, when he went to eat them, he didn't think either of them were chelev or notar. He thought they were both shuman, he thought they were both mutarim. But he has no idea which one he ate. He doesn't know if he ate the chelev. He doesn't know he ate the notar. He knows he ate something wrong, because for sure he ate something that's chayav chatat. Ishto nida, v'achoto imo v'bayit. His wife was a nida, and his sister are together with him in the house, or together with him in the bed, it seems like. Shagag v'achad mehem. And he had bi'ah with one of them. Now, obviously, he assumed that it was his wife, and she was tehorah. He finds out after the fact that his wife was in Ida and his sister was in bed. He has no idea which one he had bi'ah with to know what he did wrong, but we know for sure that he did something wrong. Shabbat for Yom Kippurim. You have Shabbat adjacent to Yom Kippur. Vasam melacha ben hashmashot. Does melacha in the ben hashmashot between Shabbat and Yom Kippurim. And he has no idea whether he did the melacha on Yom Kippur, or he did the malacha on Shabbat. What we do know is he did a malacha on Shabbat or Yom Kippur, both of which would make you chayav a chatat. Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatat. In this instance, Rabbi Eliezer says you are chayav a chatat, because mimonof shoch, you did something wrong. Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Yeshua is poter, and we're going to see in the Gemara that is because of the pasuk that's found by the chatat of the Nasi, where it says, asher chataba, the sin that he did. And from that you learn out, you need to know what the sin is that you did in order to bring a chatat. A chatat requires a certain amount of understanding or knowledge about the sin that you did. The same way that we said, Odai lav chatato asher chatat. He has to be aware that he sinned for sure. But not only does he have to be aware he sinned for sure, he has to know what the sin is that he did. Over here he knows for sure he sinned, but he doesn't know which sin he did. Amar Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi rejects this and says, Lo nechluku alo se melacha ben hashmashot shehu patur. Everybody agrees when he does the melacha ben hashmashot, he is patur. Shani omer, because in that instance I can say, mixad asa b'yom, or mixad asa l'machar. Who says he did a full melacha on Shabbat or Yom Kippurim? Maybe he did half of it on Yom Kippur, half of it on Shabbat, and he never did a full melacha on either of them. That presupposes what ben hashmashot is. Ben Hashmashot is a number of possibilities. Ben Hashmashot could be Oyom, Olayla. Could either be day or night. Or it could be neither. Meaning that Ben Hashmashot is a twilight zone, literally, and that it's neither day nor night. Or it could be a time that is both day and night. Both of those expressions make it something differentiated from absolute day and absolute night. What Rabbi Yossi clearly is saying is that Ben Hashmashot is either day or night, and there's some dividing line along the way there. And therefore, if he does melacha, then could be that part of it is Yom Kippur, part of it is Shabbat, or he started on Yom Kippur, ended on Shabbat. Whatever that crossover line is, you have absolute Yom and absolute Laila, and therefore, you could have a half melacha. Could have said, not like Rabbi Yossi, which is, even without Rabbi Yossi's statement, you could have said that Ben Hashmashot is neither Yom nor Laila, and therefore you never did it on Yom Kippur or Shabbat, because it was in this twilight zone. So even if you do the whole malacha, it was not Yom, it wasn't Laila. So maybe Mimon of Shach, you did something, but here it's something that's an independent entity, separate from the Yom and separate from the Laila. Again, that's much harder to say, but Rabbi Yosef just simply says, you might have crossed the threshold here, and you might have done half before and half afterward. And then where is their machloket? He did melacha during the day. Can't remember if he did it on Shabbat or if he did it on Yom Kippur. Or he did it for sure on Shabbat or for sure on Yom Kippur. He's just not sure if he did tzira or tchina. He's not sure which melacha that he did. In that case, Rabbi Lezer mechayev chatat. Once again, Rabbi Lezer says, you know you did something wrong. You may not know what it is, but you know you did something wrong. Therefore, you're chayav chatat. Rabbi Yeshua poter, because you don't know what violation you are trying to rectify over here. You don't know whether it's Shabbat or Yom Kippur. You don't know on Shabbat whether it was tochein or kotzer that you're trying to rectify. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, potro haya Rabbi Yeshua, af me'asham taloi. Rabbi Yeshua says, you're patur over here. Not only are you patur from a chatat, you're also patur from an asham taloi. Even though you have some sort of safek over here as to which avera you did, but you don't bring an asham for this because here you know you did something wrong for certain. You just don't know what it is that you did wrong. And therefore, you don't bring an asham. The Gemara will explain why that is and what the miut is by asham. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omrim. So they bring a new view as to what the machloket is. Lo nechloku al davar shu mishem echad. They don't argue about when it's something that is from the same category of violation. Meaning that if you have two trees, and both of them are the same tree, and you pick fruits off the trees, you just don't know whether you picked off tree one or tree two, then shu chayav. Everybody agrees, including Rabbi Yeshua, that in that case you're going to be chayav, because we know you did tzira on, or you did betzira, you harvested on Shabbat. We know that you harvested figs. We're just not sure if it's tree one or tree two. That's not enough of a reason to say that you shouldn't bring a chatat in that case. You did what you were planning to do. You did it on an object that you planned it to do on. You're just not sure which of the two objects it was. Aman echlekus, and then where is their machloka? Davar shu mishum bet shemot. In a case where you have two shemot over here, meaning that you have a tree that is full of figs, and then you have a vine full of grapes. And now he's not sure whether he picked from the grapes or he picked from the figs. So Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatat. In that case, Rabbi Eliezer says, mimonofsach, you did tzira, and you know the melacha that you did. You just don't know whether you pick from the figs or you pick from the grapes. Rabbi Yeshua poter. And Rabbi Yeshua is patur. As Rashi notes over here that the Shnei Shemot means kikon safek katsar safek tachan. He's not sure if he harvested, he's not sure if he milled, or safek tainim safek anavim. He doesn't know if he picked figs or he picked grapes. All of these cases, he will be, according to Rabbi Yeshua, patur. Whereas, according to Rabbi Lezer, he's going to be chayav. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda takes it one step further and says, afil mitzkavim lukot tainim liket anavim. Even if he intended to pick figs, and then he picked grapes, anavim, velikei tayinim, he intended to pick grapes and he picked figs, shchorot, he intended to pick the black figs, velikei levanot, instead he took the white figs, levanot, he went for the white figs, velikei shchorot, and instead he took the black figs. In that case, Rabbi Lezer mechayev chatat, Rabbi Yeshua puter. So it says you are putur, so he takes it even a step further, which is, you did exactly what you intended to do, but there was some slight nuance in the object of your melacha, and that already Rabbi Yeshua is going to say your patur. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says about that, Tzma'ani impatar by Rabbi Yeshua. It would be shocking to me if Rabbi Yeshua was puter in that case, because in that case, why would there be any patur? You were nitkavein to do something asur. You did something asur in the end. Just it turned out you picked white figs instead of black figs. Why should that have any bearing on the situation? And the Stam Mishnah says about that, Imkein lama ne'amar asher chataba. What do you mean? That's why you have mechataba. Chataba means you need to know exactly the aveira that you did, and it has to be exactly what you plan to do is what you did. That's asher chataba. To which Rabbi Shimon responds, no, prat limitasek. That comes to teach you not that you have to know exactly which thing that you did to the T, but rather it has to be that prat limitasek Katava comes to teach you that if you did something of heter, or you were doing something of heter, and it turned out to be isur instead, that's called mitasek, and that's what you get a ptur for. Asher chatava means you need to be engaged in an aveira in order to be chayav chatat. If you're engaged in a non-aveira action, and then it turns out that you did an aveira, which we're going to see in a second what that means, you were engaged in doing something of heter, and it turns out it was isur, in that case, then you would be patur, and that's where I agree you could be patur. But Rabbi Shimon, as versus Rabbi Yehuda, thinks that what Rabbi Yehuda has gone too far. Rabbi Yehuda has gone too far in saying that you have to be, you know exactly which Isur you are doing. You have to plan to do that Isur, carry out that Isur, and know after the fact exactly what you did in order to be Chayav, according to Rabbi Yeshua. He says that's just too far fetched, because even Rabbi Yeshua is not going to be puter in a situation where you picked white figs instead of black figs. What does it matter? You intended to do something wrong. You did something wrong. Who cares if they're white figs or black figs? You picked on Shabbat. That should be enough to make you chayav. And Asher Chatava does not address that case. Asher Chatava addresses a case in Mitasek. And that's the view of Rabbi Shimon as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda. Tanyo, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Monofshach, Il Chelevachal, Chayav, Inotarachal, Chayav. The machloki between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in that first case in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer's position is pretty straightforward. Doesn't matter. He ate chelev, is chayav. He ate notar, is chayav. Ishto nida bal, chayav. Yachoto bal, chayav. If he slept with his wife, who's a nida, or he slept with his sister, both of them are chiyuv chataot. Ibi Shabbat asam lacha, chayav. Ibi Yom Kippurim asam lacha, chayav. Whether he did it on Shabbat or he did it on Yom Kippur, you are chayav. So Rabbi Eliezer's position is very understandable. We know why he is going to make you chayav in these cases. Is because mimonav shach, you did something that's chayav a chatat. Why shouldn't you bring a chatat? Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, are you omer asher chatava? So Rabbi Yeshua responds, I'll tell you why. Because it says by the nasi, it says when oh da'alav chatato asher chatava, maybe it korbano sirizim zachar tamim. So there asher chatava. He needs to know what he sinned. So in the first scenario, in the Mishnah, it's not that he has to have intent for it, it's that after the fact, he needs to know which sin he did in order to bring a chatat. What does he do with this ba? Like we saw at the tail end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says, what do you do with Asher Chataba? Asher Chataba comes to tell you, Prat the mitasek, to exclude a case of mitasek. And this brings us into the world of mitasek, which is a very important halachic construct, because it has major nafkaminot, especially the Gabay Shabbat. Mitasek to my. What exactly were you being mitasek with? Mitasek means you engaged in something. You were engaged in something, not necessarily intending for Isur, and then you ended up doing an Isur. What were you engaged in that you suddenly ended up with an isur, even though that was not your intent? So, if you're speaking about food items like chelev and arayot, both of which are restricted, chayav, in that case, it doesn't matter. Mitasek is not a ptur by chalavim and arayot. Damar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, amitasek bechalavim v'arayot, chayav. When it comes to chalavim and arayot, even if you're mitasek and then you're chayav, shekein nehene. Because in the end, you got benefit from it. In the end, you were the beneficiary of whatever you did wrong over here. You were the one who got that benefit, got that hana'ah. And since you got that hana'ah, therefore you are chayav in this case. Now, whether that means that because of the hana'ah, we can assign motivation to you, which means that because you got hana'ah, therefore you must have had kavana for it, because you enjoyed whatever it is that you did, and therefore we give constructive kavana to you because of the hana'ah, or the way that the Kovetz Shiurim, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, terms it is that different aveirot have different restrictions with regards to them. There's certain aveirot where it is the pi'ula, the action that you're taking, that is problematic. There are certain aveirot where the totza'ah, the outcome, is the problem. And cases where the pi'ula, where it's the action that's problematic, then mitasek is a ptur. So if you are engaging in tzira, You're harvesting. That's not an action of hana'a. That's where the pu'la, the action itself, is problematic. There you can speak about mitaseh. You speak about chelev and you're speaking about arayot. There, not only is the action problematic, the outcome is also problematic. And therefore, mitaseh is not a p'tur over there. Because even if you believe, like the Kovet Shiurim, that mitaseh makes it as if you didn't do the action. Mitaseh makes it as if it happened passively rather than actively. Nevertheless, you're still chayav, because the totza'ah, the outcome, was still that of isur. Even if you didn't take the action, nevertheless, you as a beneficiary of something that was asur, makes it that you are responsible or chayav for that violation. Did you have biyah with erva, or did you eat something that was asur? So when you look at it from that framework, mitasek is not a tour, because shukainana, in the end, you ate the chayav. In the end, you were boel the erva. That doesn't matter why or what your intent was. The problem is that you were boel and erva. The problem is that you ate chelev. And so that's how he wants to segregate or separate between issues like kalavim and arayot versus other violations. It depends on whether the violation is focused on the activity. In that case, you can have a tour of mitase, where the focus is on the outcome. The focus is on the result that you get. And over here, by chalavim and arayot, it is the result that is problematic there. And that's what the shekeinaneh means. Shekeinaneh is a siman, that this is not somebody where we focus on the activity. It's a problem of the benefit you derive from these items. That is a problematic issue. And therefore, it doesn't really matter that you're mitasek, because in the end, you did whatever was restricted. You got benefit from something that you're not supposed to get benefit from. Ve'i mitasek b'shabbat. If you're speaking about mitasek on Shabbat, patur. My time. Over there, by mitasek of Shabbat, you have a tour of melechet makshevet asra Torah. But the issue of Shabbat, there is beyond the issue of mitasek. We'll get into this in 1 minute. There is a tour in Shabbat, which is melechet makshevet. You're only chayav on Shabbat for doing something that you intended to do, as well as the outcome that you intended for. So you have to accomplish both of those. You have to do the action you intended for, plus you must get the result you are looking for. Both of those are required in order to be a problem on Shabbat. A deficit in either one of those would make it that you are not chayav for the gabei Shabbat. That's why by Shabbat, davar she'inu mitkavein. If you do something unintentionally, you are not chayav on Shabbat, because it's not melechet machshevet. You didn't do it with intent. That's davar she'inu mitkavein. Totza'ah also has the effect. If you are, again, this is the classic case of melacha she'in tzricha legufa. If you're digging a ditch, not because you want the ditch, but because you want the dirt, then you're not chayav for zoreya or boneh on Shabbat, because you're not doing it for the outcome that the Torah prescribed as being problematic. So that's melechet machshevet asra Torah. What we have to understand here is, hey, is there a difference between mitasek and melechet machshevet? Which the Tosafot will spend time on in a second. So now, what is the scenario that you have that mitasek is patur, and that's what Asher Chataba is coming to tell you about? So the Rova Mishkachala, Rova says it's in the following instance. He was going to cut something that he thought was not attached. And instead he cut something that was attached. I'm leaving this very ambiguous now. Did he cut the same thing and it turned out to be mechubar? Or did he cut something else that was mechubar? That is not clear from the statement of Rava, Machloket Rashi and Tosafot. Le'abaye, Mishkachadah, Gon, Shnitkavin, Lagbiat Atalush, intended to pick up something that was detached. Vichatachet Mechubar. Instead, he cut something that was attached. Over here, according to Abaye, there was not only a change between Talush and Mechubar, there was a change in your activity. You were going to lift something up, instead you cut. Rova thinks that as long as you were intending to cut something detached and then cut something attached, that's already considered to be mitase. Ditmar, here we have the case. Nitkavin lagbiat talush v'chatachet et mechubar patur. Everybody agrees, if you intended to pick up something that was detached and you ended up cutting something that's attached, patur. It's the exact case that Abaye gave. My taima, talo ikavin l'shem chaticha. Because you never intended to cut. So you intended to pick something up, you cut instead. Everybody agrees there that that's mitasek and you are patur. He went to cut something that was detached and he cut something attached. You intended to cut. Okay, so you cut the mechubar instead of talush, but you did the action that you intended for it, therefore you are chayav. Rav amar patur. This is the big chiddush. Why? You intended to do something okay, and you did something that was wrong. The action that you took was not the action that you intended. You intended for a kosher or permitted action. Instead, you did an action that was restricted. According to Rava, that is considered to be a case of mitasek. And as Tosfo points out over here, that lo ikavin lechatchicha de yisura, that's different than the shogeg, the kol ha-Torah kula. Because in the shogeg of kol ha-Torah kula, there you are intending for something that everybody knows is inherently asur. Chelev, inherently asur. Everybody knows it's asur. You just happen to think that it is shuman. Over here, by the branch, had it been like you thought, that it was detached, then it would have been mutar. I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with this branch. There's no inherent isur in the branch. It's just that the branch, if it is attached, you have an isur to cut it. But here, where you thought it was talosh, in that scenario, you didn't intend for a chaticha of isura based on your perspective on what this item was. And the item doesn't have anything that's inherently wrong with it, as opposed to the case of chelev, where if it was chelev, and it is chelev of isur, there's an inherent isur in the object. When you think it's shuman and you eat it, you can't say, oh, he intended for shuman, that's enough. Because over here, everybody knows, and it's inherently asur. By the branch, there's nothing inherently asur about it. It's only because he's taken an action on the branch, and therefore his conception of what the branch is impactful in this case. And that's why that's different than any other shogeg in the Torah. Over here, Rashi goes through a lot of trouble to explain what is the difference between mitasek and shogeg. The big difference is, by mitasek you are patur, by shogeg you're chayav hakatat. How do I know when you're mitasek, and how do I know when you are a shogeg? So Rashi defines it in the following manner. He brings it a number of times over here. I'll point out the two of them, and then I'll explain to you what the difference is. It says, "V'lo dami l'shogeg." This is not like shogeg. The shogeg ano shid kavein l'chaticha zo atzma, v'zafur shehu shuman. In that case, he intended to eat whatever it was there. He just thought it was shuman. He's looking at this piece. He thinks it's shuman. Turns out it's chelev. That's a case of shogeg. In the case where it's called mitasek, you go on chelev is shuman lefanav. He has chelev and shuman. He knows that. He knows one is shuman and one is chelev. And he wants to eat the shuman. He got distracted. He looked away. And then he picked up the one that was chelev instead of the one that was shuman. That was not his intent. He intended to pick up the shuman. He knew which one was the shuman. There was shuman there. He just ended up picking up the chelev because he was distracted. That's Rashi's description of mitasek. This is shogeg, where it's this item. You think it's shuman. It turns out that it is chelev. It was never shuman. You made a mistake in your judgment about what this item was. He brings the same example with regards to ishto. So the case of shogeg is where he thought it was his wife. Turns out it's his sister. The case of mitasek is where his wife is there. He intended for his wife. For whatever reason, his wife slipped down, and it turned out his sister was there instead of his wife. So he had intended for his wife. His wife was there, but instead he ended up with his sister. Case of shogeg is, it was always his sister. He just thought it was his wife. What Rashi points out, that the difference between shogeg and mitasek is the object of the avera. Rashi says it's called shogeg when the object of the avera is the object that you end up doing the avera with. Which is that, in the case of the chelev, you thought it was shuman, but it turns out it was chelev. It was the same object that you intended to eat. You ate the object that you intended for. It's just that you thought it was shuman, it turns out it was chelev. By the case of the women, you were sleeping with your sister all along, you just thought it was your wife. But the object that you intended to sleep with was always your sister. You just mistakenly thought it was your wife. The object of your avera is the object you intended for all along. But the case of mitasek, according to Rashi, is a case where the object you ended up with is not the object that you thought you would do this action with. By the case of the Shuman and Chalev, there was Shuman, there was Chalev. You knew about both of them. You went to stick out your hand to pick up the Shuman. Instead, you picked up the Chalev. Over there, that's Midasik, because you were looking, you were distracted, and you picked up the Chalev when you intended for the Shuman. Your intention was to pick up the Shuman. Instead, you picked up the Chalev. That's Midasik. Case of Bia. You intended to sleep with your wife. Your wife was there. She was the object of what you were going to do. She had somehow slipped out, and then your sister ended up being there. That's a case of Midasik, because the sister was not your original object of what you were going to do. That's why it's called Midasik. That's Rashi's definition of the difference between Shogeg and Midasik. And therefore, for Rashi, Midasik always means a different object. Going back to the Gemara now, Abaye and Rava's positions are going to read the following. Rava says, "Kugon shnitkaven lechtochet atalush." You intended to cut something that was detached, v'chatachet emichubar, and you cut something that was attached. According to Rashi, it can't be the same object. If it's the same object, then you made a mistake in judgment. That's a shogeg, because if you intended to cut this and you thought it was detached, turns out it was attached. That's shogeg according to Rashi, because that's the same object. So what Rashi has to explain over here is, "Nitkaven lechtochet atalush v'chatachet emichubar acher." You cut something else that was attached. You were going to cut something. It was detached. And you would have cut it. If you cut it, it would have been detached. Instead, you cut something else that was mechubar. Rashi reads it as being mechubar acher. Similarly with Abaye. Nitkaven lagbiat talush. You intended to lift up this object that was talush. V'chatach et mechubar. And then you cut something attached. It's not the same object. You cut something else that was attached. Not picking up the object that was detached, because you need to switch objects for Rashi to be considered mitasek. Otherwise, you're classified as a shogeg. That is Rashi's view, which the Bali and Tosafot disagree with. The Bali and Tosafot say that all these cases that Rashi calls shogeg are really cases of mitasek. And Tosafot says that even if you intended lachtochet atalush, to cut something that was detached, v'chatachet emichubar, and then you cut something that is mechubar, that is still called mitasek. Even if it's the same object, that's called mitasek, because you had intended to do an action that was mutar, that was to cut something talush. You did an action that was rasur. That's mitasek. You were engaged in the activity of cutting beheter. Instead, you ended up cutting beitzur. That's, even though the object was the same object, but your intent was for a mutar action, and you ended up doing an osur action. That's called mitasek. That's not called shogeg. So Tosafot says that when we say here, et mechubar, it's not mechubar acher, means the same object, but it turns out it was mechubar. So Tosafot says what Rashi calls shogeg, I call mitasek. So for instance here now, according to the Bali of Tosafot, according to Rashi, if a person was nitkaven lechtochet mechubar, and chatach otov nimsa mechubar, and he caught it, and it turns out it was mechubar, and he didn't know today was Shabbat. He didn't know that that melacha was asura. That's called shogeg. Even according to the Bali and Tosafot, that's called shogeg. If nitkaven lechtochet mechubar v'chatach mechubar acher, you intended to cut something that was attached, but you ended up cutting something else that was attached. According to Tosafot, that's called shogeg. But nevertheless, you patur because of melechet machshevet. So even though that case is a case of shogeg, in that case, by Shabbat, you're going to be patur, because you intended to cut this object, and you cut something else. So even though you had intended to do an isur, and an action of isur, the object of your isur changed, that's not called melechet machshevet. That's a unique heter by the case of Shabbat. If you, nitkaven lechtochet talush, intended to cut something detached, v'chatach oto, and you cut that same object, and you figure out that it's mechubar, according to Rashi, that's called shogeg, and your chayav v'chatat. According to the Bali and Tosafot, that is mitasek according to Rova. That's Rova's case of mitasek. You intended to cut something that was talush. Turns out it was mechubar. The case that nitkavein lachtochet talush v'chatach mechubar acher, you were intending to cut something that was detached and end up cutting something attached, a different object that was attached. That's according to Rashi, mitasek according to Rova. That's Rashi's view of what mitasek is according to Rava. Nitkaven lagbiat talush. You intended to pick up something that was detached, and instead you cut something that was attached, the same object, but you ended up cutting it that was attached. According to Tosafot, that's mitasek according to Abaye. According to Rashi, mitasek according to Abaye is where you nitkavin lachtoil biyat adalush, v'chatach mechubar acher. You tended to pick up an object that was detached, and you cut something else that was attached. Because for Rashi, you have to switch objects for it to be mitasek. Therefore, according to Rashi, that's the case that Abaye says is the case of mitasek. Just to read for you quickly what the Bali Tosafot differentiate from Rashi, the Bali Tosafot in Shavuot, on the same daf, in Shavuot, it's in daf Yutet, in Shavuot as well, just like it is here in Kretot, Tosafot over there says, the Ike Tre Gavne Mitasek. There are two different types of Mitasek. If you intended to cut something attached, and you cut another object that was attached, that's called Mitasek. Mitzdar mitam shalom lasik machshavato. You are patur over there because your intent was not carried out. Velo shayach lemiftarei mishum mitasek. That's not a case where you're patur mishum mitasek. Ela mishum melechet machshavet asra Torah. That's a patur only by Shabbat. Nowhere else do you have that patur. So anywhere else where you would have that same problem, there you'd be chayav for it. By Shabbat you have a patur because it's melechet machshavet Asra Torah. On the other hand, the other type of mitasek is gonitgavin lachtoka talush. You intended to cut that which was detached. Ulagbiata talush, or to lift up something that was detached. The market itle. That depends if you think like Robo or like Abaye, what it is that you intended for. Venimsa mechubar. The object itself that you had intended and thought was detached turns out to be mechubar. The naseit machshavato. You did what you intended, umiftar, and your patur, mishum ba. Because asher chata ba, prata mitasek. You were engaged in an activity that was not the activity that you did in the end. You were engaged in cutting something talush. You ended up cutting something mechubar. Even though in the end you cut what you intended to cut, your intention was to cut something detached, you cut something attached, that's ba. You didn't get your intended cutting. You intended for heter, you ended up with isur. Same thing with lagbiyat talush, chutei chetem mechubar. According to Tosafot, in both those cases, even though it's the same object, nevertheless, it is considered to be mitasek. That's how Tosafot explains it, and then Tosafot explains it. Ubechelev nami ikatre gavne. By chelev also, there are two types of mitasek. Mitikogon shenitkavin echol chelev zeh, echol chelev acher. If you intended to eat this chelev, and then you ate a different piece of chelev, that's also mitasek. There you're chayav. Even forgetting about shezeh neneh. Forgetting about neneh, there you're chayav, because there's no such thing as melechet machshevet asra Torah by chelev. That's a tour by Shabbat, that's not a tour by chelev. There you're chayav, forget about anything to do with neneh. Because the lo shayach lemiftarei mitam melechet machshevet. There's another mitasek, kagon, shesavar shehu shuman, a rope. He thought it was shuman or it was saliva, ubalo. And then he swallowed it. The kiyotze bo, mifta lian Shabbat, mechtiv ba. That type of mitasek by Shabbat is not because of melechet machshevet, that's because of mitasek. Asher chata ba, you didn't do the action that you were intending. Here you were trying to swallow shuman, you swallowed chelev. So you didn't do the activity. Nevertheless, late lan miute. Over here by chelev, you're going to be chayav anyway, because it's zeh, neh, neh. Because you get hana'ah from the item. So Tosafot says, every Isur has two types of mitasek by them. Shabbat has a special din, which is that even that one type of mitasek where everywhere else you're chayav, you're going to be patur, melechet machshevet, asra Torah. That's like the case where you intended to eat this piece of chelev, ate a different piece of chelev. You intended to cut this branch, you cut a different branch. By Shabbat, you're going to be patur. Anywhere else in the Torah, you're going to be chayav for that mitasek. There's a different mitasek, which is you intended for an action of heter. And you did an action of Isur, even on the same object, there, kol haTorah kula, you're going to be patur, including Shabbat, because that's asher chata ba, prat mitasek, with the exception of chelev and arayot, because shekein neneh, which turns it into something where you're going to be chayav, because of shekein neneh. So there is some question about the girsa here, and that has impact on what you think the Gemara's answer is. It says, mitasek demai, idr chalavim arayot chayav. And then, possibly you quote that Damar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel mitasek b'chol merot chayav shkeinene ella mitasek b'shabbat. And that means the answer of the Gemara is that the ba of Rabbi Eliezer is coming to tell you that mitasek b'Shabbat is patur, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer doesn't learn it from Melechet Machshevet, but rather from Ba. And that Rashi says on the previous Amud, where he says, nearly to Rabbi Eliezer, late to Rav Nachman. He doesn't hold of this din of Rav Nachman, and therefore he doesn't have the patur of Melechet Machshevet, and he learns it out from the word Ba. On the other hand, if you don't have the word Ella in here, then there are two statements of the Gemara. Can't be Chalavim and Arayot, Shukei Nene. Can't be Mitasek B'Shabbat because of Melechet Machshevet. Ella, Mitasek is a different terminology. It means Ba comes to exclude what Rav and Abayi bring, which are Melechet Machshevet that's not necessarily associated with Shabbat. And Rabbi Eliezer would hold the Melechet Machshevet as the tour of Shabbat. Therefore, the Ba is coming to include a different type of mitasek that's not covered by Melechet Machshevet, which would then be very supportive of the Balei HaTosafot, would say that there are two types of mitasek, one that's covered by Melechet Machshevet and one that is covered by Ba. And that would actually help to explain the difference between Rashi and Tosafot over here as to whether the word Ella appears in between the mitasek Halavim Bariot Chayav Shkei Neneh and before mitasek B'Shabbat. Ella would mean that that's the answer according to Rashi, and that's why he thinks that there's only one type of mitasek on Shabbat, and either you have Melechet Machshevet be poteret, or you have the word Ba be poteret. Whereas the Balei HaTosafot, it's like our gear, so it says Ve'i mitasek b'Shabbat, that's also not a reason to bring the word Ba down, which means that by Shabbat there are two types of mitasek, one that's covered by Melechet Machshevet, and one that is covered by Ba. And that leads to the difference in their opinion with regards to mitasek in general, as well as mitasek on Shabbat. That's the machlok between Rashi and Tosafot, which obviously has major nafkamina l'alocha as to when something is called mitasek and something is shogeg. Because shogeg, you are chayav b'chatat. By mitasek, you are patur. The Rabbi Kiva Eger here has a huge chiddush by mitasek, where he wants to claim, aside from Shabbat, where Melechet Machshevet added to mitasek makes it that there's no ma'ase aveira, b'kol haTorah kula, the patur of mitasek is simply that. It's a patur from the korban, but you still have a ma'ase aveira associated with that activity. You did a ma'ase of aveira, but yet the Torah gives you a special dispensation that you're patur from a korban. That he says as a number of nafkaminot that he brings aloha with regards to this. For instance, where you have a requirement to make sure that your servant does shvitah on Shabbat. The Eved says that he wants to cut something that is talush, and it turns out it's mechubar, and the master knows it's mechubar. The Eved isn't aware of it being mechubar, but the master knows it's mechubar. Does the master have an obligation to separate him away from doing that? If you say that it is a ma'isa aveira, but you're patur, then the master doesn't have an obligation to separate the Eved, because he has a requirement to make sure that his Eved is shoveit on Shabbat. And if he does this action, it's going to be an aveira. Even though it's patur, it's still a ma'isa aveira. It's a ma'isa that's ish vita on Shabbat, and the Adon's responsible for that. The Adon will have to intervene and stop him. If you believe that mitasek is a complete heter, meaning that there's nothing wrong with the action whatsoever, it's not a ma'isa aveira, then over there you would have no obligation to separate him away, because it wouldn't be a breach of Shvitat HaShabbat. So if you know the information, he doesn't know it, you don't have to stop him from doing the mitasek. That is similar, he brings by kilayim. If you see someone wearing a beged kilayim, do you have a requirement to tell the individual that he is wearing kilayim and he has to take it off? So generally, mishum kavoda briyot, it's not an issur d'oraita, we would not require you to tell or disclose that information to the individual. So if you believe that mitasek is a tour of the gamre, then why do you have to inform the individual about the fact that he's wearing kilayim? The fact that the Gemara Brachot tells you have to inform him about it and he has to take it off, and the shuk shows you that there is a ma'isa aveira taking place over here, and that's one of his proofs that even by mitasek there's still a ma'isa aveira, it's just a tour. He then backs away from that by using a different chiddush, which is, he says, maybe by kilayim it's different shukein nene. And therefore he applied shukein nene not just to chalavim arayo, but even to the chimum, the wearing of a beged that covers you and warms you up, that's also kein nene. So over there you don't have the ptur of mitasek, and since you don't have the ptur of mitasek, that's why you have to tell the individual about it, not because mitasek is a ma'isa aveira, but rather simply because he doesn't have the ptur of mitasek over here, because shukein nene. That leads to a different chiddush, which is that shukein nene has broader application than just chalavim and arayot. which seems to make sense. So the Hilchot Yoav thinks that it does not apply outside of Achila and Bihila. And the Kovet Shurim by Mitasek Bikilayim thinks that it is mutar and you do not have to tell the individual about it. Many other Achronim disagree with the Rekiva Eger, including Rav Chanan Wasserman. The Netzivot HaMishpat in his Sefer Mekor Chaim also disagrees with him when he asks the following question. Why is it that we have to do Bir Chametz? If Mitasek is Patur, if you have Chametz in your house, why do you have to clear it out? Even if you own Chametz, that would only be a problem of Mitasek. It would not be a problem of a violation of an Avera. Rekiva Eger says, according to me, I don't have a problem. If Mitasek is a Maisa Avera, you are Patur, but it's a Maisa Avera. That's why you have to get rid of the Chametz. On the other hand, the Mekor Chaim gives a different answer and says that the Patur of Mitasek only applies to Averot, where you have to do an action with Kavanah. If you have to do an action with Kavanah, then Davar Sheino Mitkaven or Mitasek can be a Patur in that case. But if the Torah is asering something that doesn't require any Maisa, so for here, you don't need to do anything to be in violation of owning Chametz, it's a passive violation. Over there, you can't claim that Mitasek is a Patur. Mitasek and Davar Sheino Mitkaven can only be a Patur for something that requires action and requires Kavanah. And here, where you don't need either of those to violate the Isra of Chametz, then Mitasek is not going to be a Patur. So you see from the Mekor Chaim, the Netzivot, the Mishpat, and Or HaChaim, that he clearly does not think like Rabbi Kivi Eger, because if he thought like Rabbi Kivi Eger, he could have answered like Rabbi Kivi Eger, that keeping the Chametz around is a Maisa Avera, and that's why you have to get rid of it. He answers, the reason you have to get rid of it is because Mitasek is not a Patur by ownership of Chametz, because owning Chametz is not a Maisa, it is simply a violation through passivity, and therefore Mitasek or Davar Sheino Mitkaven are not a Patur in that case. Though the Birkat of Avraham gives a third answer here with regards to why by Chametz it's not called Mitasek, is because since you don't know whether you do or don't have Chametz, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, then you don't have the issue of Mitasek anymore, because when you're in doubt about whether you're in violation of the Isur or not in violation of the Isur, that's not called Mitasek. Mitasek is when you're only engaged in matters of Heter. Therefore, he says, even without the answers of Rabbi Kivi Eger and the Mekor Chaim, it should be a problem to keep the Chametz around, because you really don't have the Patur of Mitasek, because you have uncertainty as to whether you do or don't have Chametz. That uncertainty of itself makes it that's not a case of Mitasek. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yossi Amar in the Nechaliku, that's the piece in the Mishnah where he says they don't argue about Benish Mashot, but rather about a case where you did it for sure on the day, you're just not sure if you did it on Yom Kippur or you did it on Shabbat. Tanya, Amarlan Rabbi Yossi, didaktem acharai. So he says, you were careful about me or you were particular about my position, my amrile. What was the exchange between them?
Meaning, what did the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yossi that elicited the response from Rabbi Yossi?
Damar lehu, he said to them, diktaktem acharai, you guys successfully undermine my position. Hachi amri lehi bia benesh mashot mahu. If you lift it up, benesh mashot, what is the din? As Rashi explains over here, there's some times where hagbah, lifting up, can be an isur immediately. For instance, if you're right up against the Reshut HaRabim, and you're standing in the Reshut HaRabim, then when you do that and move the object from the Reshut HaYachid into the Reshut HaRabim, immediately then you have violated the Isur. And there you can't say, well, it was half Yom Kippur, half Shabbat, because it's not a melacha that takes time, or it's not a process, but rather an immediate action. So that was their question, their challenge to Rabbi Yossi's position with regards to Benish Mashot. And Amar Lahu, he said back to them, diktaktem acharai. You are very particular, came up with a case where you could prove me wrong, and you were trying to put me in my place, get the upper hand in the argument. V'neime lo, mitzat agbah itame ayom, v'mitzat talamachar. Who says that even in a single action, that the agbah itself could have been part of it today, part of it tomorrow. This is more evidence of the fact that Rabbi Yossi believes that Ben Shmashot has some threshold where there's a exchange between Yom and Laila. Whatever that line is, maybe you did the Agbah right on that line. So, Hachinami Kamarlu, that's exactly what he meant. Dikdaktem acharai, v'lo ilitim edeichem klum. You guys tried to undermine my position. You tried to find a hole in what I'm saying, but didn't work.
Because even when it comes to Agbah, there's still a moment in time where it takes place. And that moment in time could be that threshold between day and night. And therefore, my question still stands, how do you know you didn't do part of the melacha on Shabbat and part of it on Yom HaKippurim?
It's just interesting to note that the Shid Mikubetz in Erot Hei brings a Perush Ashkenaz that says that the question of the Chachamim over here was from the case of Hagbah, lifting up a hammer to do Makiv HaPatish, to the final hit on the Sadan, on the anvil. And the issue is that when you lift it up, that's just preparatory stage to then hit it and do Makiv HaPatish on the Sadan. And that is a momentary item, which could then have happened either on Yom Kippur or on Shabbat. The Gemara then says, why doesn't Rabbi Yossi say that the lifting is a part and parcel of the activity, and therefore part of it happened on Yom Kippur, part of it happened on Shabbat? The Chachamim are not fazed by that because the lifting is not part of the Melacha. It's just the hitting that's a part of the Melacha. And therefore, the Makeh Bepatish can happen in a moment. And for that reason, the Shita Mekubetz concludes that if you lifted the hammer up on Chol and did the Hakah on Shabbat, you'd be Chayav, because the only thing that matters is the Hakah, according to those Chachamim. Over there, Rabbi Yossi, Gemar Melacha, the Rabbi Eliezer, Patur. According to Rabbi Yossi, if you have a Gemar Melacha, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that would make you Patur, meaning that even if you did a portion of the Melacha on the day before, if you finished the Melacha on the subsequent day, then the Gemar Melacha, the completion of the Melacha, was at a particular time. And if that's the case, why would you have to be Patur? It wouldn't mean that half the Melacha is in Shabbat, half on Yom Kippur. Wherever the Gemar Melacha takes place, that would be the determining factor. If that's the case, you could have a particular moment in time, and it wouldn't necessarily stretch over the threshold of Yom V'Layla. So the assumption is, according to Rabbi Yossi, both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer think that the entire Melacha is what matters, and therefore it could stretch over Yom V'Layla. That's why it comes up in another case of the Melacha being on the day and you forgetting which day it was. But if you believe that the Gemar Melacha was determinant, then according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would have been Chayav in that case. And then why does Rabbi Yossi have to change the case? Even in the case where possibly it stretches over both Yom Kippur and Shabbat, you could say the Machloket is Rabbi Yeshua believes we look at the entire Melacha, and therefore part was on Yom Kippur, part was on Shabbat, that's why you're Patur. Rabbi Eliezer says we go after the Gemar Melacha. Whenever you finish the Melacha, that's what's determinant. And since that happened in one of the two, either Shabbat or Yom Kippur, then you do have a violation that is on a single point in time. So therefore, you must conclude, according to Rabbi Yossi, that he thinks Rabbi Eliezer thinks you're Patur in that case. Otherwise, you would have set up the Machloket that way. Problem is, Hashemanele de Mechayev. We heard, or we have evidence, the fact that he thinks Gemar Melacha is a factor. That's not. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Haoreiv, Shlosha Chutim B'Tchila. Someone who starts to weave, you need three strings worth of weave in order for it to be Chayav for Arig on Shabbat. Because if you weave less than three strings in the beginning, it'll just fall apart, and therefore it doesn't have any permanence or staying power to it. Bechad al-Arig. Something that's already woven, you just need to add one string to it, and then you're Chayav. Makes it sound like from that the one string that you have in the end, which was a Gemar Melacha, that's enough to make you Chayav when it is a Gemar Melacha. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yossi Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer Hachimatne. Rabbi Yossi's version of Rabbi Eliezer is the following. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Reg Shlosha Chutim B'Tchila, that in order to be Chayav in the beginning, you need to have three strings in order to have some permanence to it. Ushtaim al-Arig, once it's already woven, to add on, you have to add on two strings in order to be Chayav. So it's not enough that you put in one string or you have a Gemar Melacha to make you Chayav, but rather the shear is two strings, and therefore again, this becomes a process Melacha, not just focused on the Gemar Melacha. If that's the case, then even according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not Chayav for the Gemar Melacha, you're Chayav for doing the entirety of the Melacha. And if you did one string on one side of Benesh Mashot, one string on the other side of Benesh Mashot, you would have a Chatzi Melacha on Shabbat, Chatzi Melacha on Yom Kippurim. You're not Chayav by Chatzi Melacha, because, again, like we said before, it's not a Chatzi Shiur, it's a Chatzi Melacha, which is garnished, and therefore you're not going to be Chayav. And that's why Rabbi Yossi changes this scenario to being where you do the Melacha on the day itself, so there's no question that the Melacha was done entirely either on Shabbat or Yom Kippurim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Potroi Rabbi Yeshua, Af Me'asham Toloi. So Rabbi Yehuda says that when Rabbi Yeshua says you're Potur over here, Me'chatat, he not only means Me'chatat, he also means Me'asham Toloi. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Potroi Rabbi Yeshua, af mi Hashem taloi shenemar, because the pasuk says with regards to the Hashem taloi im nevesh ki techeta ba'asta achat mikol mitzvot Hashem asher lo ta'asena v'lo yada v'ashem v'nasa avono. So he says ki techeta v'lo yada, when he sins and he doesn't know about it. Prat lezeh sheyada shechata. Over here, this individual knows that he sinned. Lo yada means he doesn't know that he has sinned. He has uncertainty as to whether he has sinned. In our scenario, lo yada is not true. He knows he sinned. He just doesn't know what sin he did, but he does know he sinned. And therefore, he is precluded from bringing in an Hashem Taloi. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, zehu shemei vi Hashem Taloi. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says, you do bring in Hashem Taloi in this case, shenemar, vasa velo yada. It says, im nefesh ki techata v'asta achat mikol mitzvot Hashem asher lo ta'asena v'lo yada v'ashem v'asa v'lo yada v'zeh lo yada b'me'asa. And over here, he doesn't know what he did. So what you have over here is a really a machloket as to what the lo yada is modifying in the pasuk. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the lo yada is modifying the ki techata. So you have to not know that you did an aveira in order to bring an Hashem taloi. And if you know you did an aveira, then you fail because lo yada is modifying the ki techeta. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Shimon, the lo yada is modifying the asata, achat mikol mitzvot Hashem asher lo ta'asena. That's modifying the asiya. As long as it's lo yada in the asiya, that's enough to make you chayav an Hashem taloi. And over here, he doesn't know when he did it, or he doesn't know what aveira he did, even though he knows he did an aveira. So the question of what the lo yada modifies then gives you a nafkamina as to whether you bring in Hashem Taloi in this case. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't bring in Hashem Taloi according to Rabbi Yeshua, because lo yada is on the chait, and over here you do know you have a chait. Rabbi Shimon says that Rabbi Yeshua thinks you do bring in Hashem Taloi in this case, because the lo yada is modifying the asiya, and you don't know what you did wrong, and therefore it's enough of a reason to bring the Hashem Taloi. Aval, safek achal chelev, safek lo achal, if he has a safek whether he did or didn't eat chelev, say v'shalolav, it may be Hashem Taloi. There, I'm not sure whether you bring in Hashem Taloi or not. My Havi Allah, what did Rabbi Shimon conclude with regards to that? We know he thinks you bring in Hashem Taloi in our case of the Mishnah. What does he think of the case, the classic case of Hashem Taloi, where you have a piece of Shuman and put some chelev, and you ate one of them? He says, I'm not sure over there whether you bring in Hashem Taloi or not. What is his conclusion? What do you think in the end? Tashma, chata velo yada b'mech chata. He sinned and he doesn't know what the sin was about. Oh, safek chata, safek lo chata. Or he had a safek as to whether he did sin or didn't sin. Maybe Hashem Taloi. In that case, he brings in Hashem Taloi. Man shaman ale. Who is the one that tells us that amar chata ven yadua b'mech chata? He sinned, but he just doesn't know what he sinned about. Maybe Hashem Taloi. You bring in Hashem Taloi, that's Shitat Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that even if you know you sinned, as long as you don't know what the sin is, you still bring in Hashem Taloi. So that is clearly Rabbi Shimon's position. The Katani. And then it has another example of an Hashem Taloi, which is Safek Chata, Safek Lo Chata, maybe Hashem Taloi. In a case where you're not sure or uncertain as to whether you sinned or not, there too you bring in Hashem Taloi. Shma Minas, really the Rabbi Shimon, Safek Chata, Safek Lo Chata, maybe Hashem Taloi. In the classic case of Hashem Taloi, he agrees that you also bring in Hashem Taloi there, even though he left that as an open question in the Braita that we quoted before. We know that he does conclude, based on other Braita, that you do bring in Hashem Taloi in that case as well, even in the case where it's Shuman and Chelev, and you're not sure to which one you ate, even though you don't know you've sinned, nevertheless, you will bring in Hashem Taloi. Shimon Shazuri Rebbe Shimon Omrim, Lo Nechluku, through the end of the Mishnah, Amar Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel. Mitasek v'chalavim v'arayot, chayav shukei ne'ene. Mitasek v'shabbat, patur melechet machshevet asrat Torah. And when it comes to mitasek v'chalavim and arayot, you're chayav because shukei ne'ene, everything we discussed before. When it comes to Shabbat, you are patur by mitasek because melechet machshevet asrat Torah. And we saw again the Balei Tosafot who say that this is a special dispensation of mitasek by Shabbat, that doesn't apply to any other halachot in the Torah. Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman, Va Tinokot, Dechi Mitasek Dami. What about the case of Tinokot, which is a case of Mitasek? It's not. And we have a Mishnah. Mishayulo Shnei Tinokot, person has two tinokot that were born that need to get a brit milah. Echad namol b'Shabbat, one of them's day or 8th day is Shabbat. Echad namol achar Shabbat, one of their 8 days is on Sunday. B'shachach, he didn't know or he forgot which one was which. Umal et shelachar Shabbat b'Shabbat. And then he gave the one whose brit milah was supposed to be on Sunday, he gave it on Shabbat. Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatat. He's a shogeg, he's chayav a chatat. Rabbi Shua poter. Rabbi Shua says you are patur. And there, the Gemara tells us why Rabbi Yeshua is poter. Ad kan lo patar Rabbi Yeshua la mishum kasavar tav b'dvar mitzvah v'lo asa mitzvah. Someone who makes a mistake in attempting to do a mitzvah, but in the end accomplishes no mitzvah, patur. You are patur in that case. Rabbi Eliezer believes that if you're oseg b'mitzvah, you're engaged in a mitzvah, but also mitzvah, and in the end you did a mitzvah, even though you weren't supposed to do it, nevertheless, you still will be patur. So in the scenario where the baby that he gave the meal on Shabbat to had its 8th day on Friday, in that case, if he does the meal of the Friday baby on Shabbat by accident, then he was tov mitzvah. He made a mistake in engaging in a mitzvah, but also mitzvah. There, then brit milah is going to be a good brit because it's post the 8th day. Whereas in the case here where it's on Sunday is brit milah, he does it on Shabbat, he's a day early, it's not going to be considered a brit. So for Rabbi Eliezer, in that first case, you'll be patur, but in our case, you're going to be a chayav. Rabbi Yeshua says, even in the case where you're toleb bar mitzvah and you don't do a mitzvah, you still are patur, and that's why he thinks you're patur. Aval bitasek b'davar te'lav mitzvah afilu Rabbi Yeshua mechayev. But it sounds like from this that had it been just for the reasoning of mitasek, since it wasn't a mitzvah, even Rabbi Yeshua is going to be mechayev. So you see from here that by mitasek b'Shabbat, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't have any patur. Because if it was mitasek b'Shabbat, it was patur. He should have been patur because of mitasek, not because he's taught the mitzvah, v'lo asa mitzvah. The
Shita Mikubetz in the note says, why is this question just on Shmuel? Why isn't this question equally applicable to Abaye and Rova? Because here you have a case of Lamul. He was supposed to do a milah on a baby that was permitted to have milah on Shabbat. That means that he was osik beheter, and it turned out v'ala b'yado isur, and instead he ended up with isur. There, even Abaye and Rova agree that there is a ptur of mitasek. Why isn't it a question on them, not just on Shmuel? So he answers that the din of milah being mutar on Shabbat, there's a special dispensation because milah is dochet a Shabbat. That doesn't mean that the activity of milah in and of itself is mutar. In essence, he's calling milah on Shabbat the chuya, and therefore the action is an action of isur. And therefore, in our case here, where it's an action of isur, and then you end up with the wrong baby, you acted on the wrong individual, which is a problem of melechet machshevin, and it's only a question on Shmuel, who believes that from isur to isur is patur because of melechet machshevin, not for Abaye and Rova, who think that you have to be osik beheter, and then end up with isur in order for it to be a patur of mitasek. So, hello, hanach latinokot, hoyo mikalkel bechabura chayav, because the problem by the babies or what you're doing is chabura, which is a destructive type of melacha, and nevertheless you are chayav. Mita'asek b'chabura chayav. Therefore, by mita'asek, you're also going to be chayav. So, in general, the melachot of Shabbat are constructive melachot, constructive creative melachot, and that's what you're chayav for in doing the 39 melachot on Shabbat. There are a couple of exceptions to that where the melacha is a destructive type of melacha. In many of those instances, we still turn it into a constructive type of destruction. So for instance, when it comes to koreya, tearing on Shabbat, that's only chayav when you're koreya manat lifpor, when you're tearing it to make it feasible for you to stitch it up or to fix it. So it has to be a constructive type of tearing. The one exception, according to some, is the case of mekalkel bechabura. When you put a wound or damage someone, even though that's a destructive malacha, nevertheless you are chayav. Fact that even though it's destructive, you are chayav, shows you that your maise or your intent is not important over here. What's important is the outcome of the destructive force that you unleash. And therefore, even mitasek is not going to make you patur in this case, because you're chayav for chabura on Shabbat, even though it's mikalkel, it's destructive in nature. That means that even mitasek bechabura is going to be problematic, because the item in the end will be mikukal, and that mikukal by chabura is chayav. And that's why over here, the mistake would not have been tatur because of mitase, because here you're doing a brit milah, which is a chabura, the stakeling on Shabbat. That's why Rabbi Yeshua has to invoke Tav Dvar Mitzvah, Afilu Shlo Asa Mitzvah, is patur, because mitase wouldn't have worked. Eder Yehuda the Shmuel, the Rabbi Yehuda challenged Shmuel on this position. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Mitzkavim the Kol Teinim, Likei Anavim. And Rabbi Yehuda says that even if you intended to gather in figs, and instead you picked grapes, Anavim Likei Teinim, you intended for grapes and did figs instead, Shkorot, intended for black figs, Likei Limanot, you got white figs. Limanot, you intended for white figs, Likei Shkorot, and you picked black figs. Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev Chatat, Rabbi Yeshua Puter, in that case Rabbi Yeshua is Puter. Ba'ocha mitaseku, isn't that a classic case of mitase? Rabbi Yeshua Nami, Loko Potter, Ela Min Mino, the Mino. And over there, Rabbi Yeshua is only Puter because you got a different outcome. You were looking for figs and you ended up with grapes. You looked for grapes, you ended up with figs. Here's the case of Mitasek. And Rabbi Yeshua says that you're only Potter when it is from one species to another species. Of Abachad Mino, that if he intended to pick figs, and he picked figs in the end, I feel Rabbi Yeshua Mechayev. If it was the same species, then Rabbi Yeshua says that you would be chayav, even though it was from a different fig tree. And as Rashi points out, this is only a question on Shmuel and not on Bayi V'Rova, because the Bayi V'Rova only give examples of mitasek when you started with something that's het there and you ended up with Isur. Shmuel, on the other hand, says that there is mitasek even though when you started with Isur and you did an Isur Acher, there's still a din of mitasek, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda is challenging Shmuel's position over here. Because the Mishnah makes it sound like that the reason that you're patur over here was because it was two minim. But had it been the same min, you would have been chayav. According to you, if you tend for Isur and you get a different Isur, according to you, that's still called mitasek. So why isn't there a patur mitasek over here? Amalei Shinina, that was the nickname that Shmuel gave to Rabbi Yehuda, discussed in many places in Shas. Generally, Rashi's explanation of this is on a positive note, which is, you sharp one. He's speaking to a student, Rabbi Yehuda. In some places, they know Chinna means the one with long teeth, which would have been a description of which Rabbi Yehuda we're speaking about. Chinna, Shavok Matnita, Vetabat Rai. Forget about the Mishnah. Come after me. I'll explain to you how this works. Hachamayaskinan, what's the case here in the Mishnah? Is Gugon Shavad Milaket Milibo. The person who was going to gather it in forgot what he wanted to harvest. It's Kavin Milkot Anabim. He went and intended to harvest grapes. The shachach, and he forgot that that was his intent originally. The savor teinim bina, and he says, oh, I must have wanted figs. In the end, he picked grapes instead of figs. The answer to that question is that you misunderstood the case. The case is not your classic case of mitase. Rather, the case here is a case where he wanted grapes, forgot that he wanted grapes, thought he wanted figs, went to pick figs, and then picked grapes in the end. The Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Hari Nasta, Kavanato. Rabbi Eliezer says in the end he got what he wanted. Even though he didn't understand that when he was doing it, nevertheless he ended up what he wanted. He started wanting grapes. He forgot, thought he wanted figs, went to pick figs, but picked grapes. In the end, he got grapes like he intended for originally. That's why you're chayav. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Elo Nasta, Kavanato, Umachshivato. Over here, his intent was not carried out. As Rashi says over here, you need both. Bakashato, umachshavato. Over here, even though bakashato was done, because he wanted grapes in the beginning and he ended up with grapes, nevertheless, machshavato is not taken care of because he intended to pick figs and then he picked up anavim. So you need both of those to be true in order to be chayav, which is that you have to have carried out your original intent or your original want, plus when you engage in the activity, you must do the activity that you intended for. Which means that if it was the same min, had he intended for figs and got him figs, he would have been chayav. That's because if he intended for figs originally, didn't forget about that and then picked figs, he'd be chayav because then he carried out exactly what he wanted. He did bakashato, omachshavato, or the way the Gemara says it, kavanato, omachshavato. He wanted figs, he picked figs, and he got what he wanted, and therefore, there he carried out all of his intent, and that's not called mitasek. And as Tosfot says, Mishum Hachi Chayav, in that case your Chayav came to be Ikara, the Tanenim Alalu Nitkaveh. These were the Tanenim that he intended for first, Ha Patur, Mitam Alechet Makshevet. Because he's Patur, because of Alechet Makshevet, Nitkaveh Nachtoch Mechubar Zeh, Vechatach Mechubar Acher, Mayri. That's only when you intended for this Mechubar and cut something else. Shalavad Malake Tamilibo. Over there, it's not a case where he had forgotten what his original intent was and then ended up with his original intent. Because when it's not Avad Malakeit, then the case of Mitasek is where you intended for tree one, and you end up taking from tree two, and you never intended for tree two. That's the case of Malachet Makhshevet of Prat Mitasek. But over here, where he intended for tree one, forgot, then thought he was intending for tree two, and then got, in the end, by accident, ended up on tree one. Over there, he ended up with what he wanted from the original intent. That's not a failure in Malachet Makhshevet. And therefore, you are chayav, because in the end, you got Kavanato Umakshavato. He got what he intended for, which is the grapes from 3-1. And he carried out his makshava, which he wanted to pick figs. He ended up picking figs.
And that's what Shmuel is saying to Rabbi Yehuda. My din of Malachet Makhshevet applies across the board. One min, two minim. You're quoting from the Mishnah. That's a narrow case of mitaseh, in which this particular type of mitaseh only applies by two minim, does not apply by win min, but it's not a question for me because it's not an issue of Malachet Makhshevet. So according to Rashi, what Shmuel is saying over here is that there really are two pturim that exist. One is the ptur of Malachet Makhshevet, which is what Shmuel is speaking about, and that exists when there is no fulfillment of the original intent of the individual. And that applies whether it's one min or two minim. There is a second ptur learned from the Asher Chata Ba, which is mitaseh. That's a ptur when that which he intended to do when he was doing the action wasn't carried out. At least the fee Rabbi Yeshua. That ptur only exists when you're dealing with two minim, because you can't attribute an action to him that is different than from his intended action. The other hand, if it's min echad, the fact that he did the action of lekitat shchorot, and he got lekitat shchorot, even though they were different shchorot, nevertheless, his makshava in the maise was carried out, and therefore, in that case, min echad would be chayav and not have the ptur of mitaseh. And as we saw above, Tosafot had in an additional case, Nitkaven Lachtov Talush V'Nimtza Mechubar, which Rashi calls Shogeg, but Tosafot calls that a Ptura Mitaseh. Our case over here, where Aved Melaket Milibo, where your action that you intended for was not carried out, both of those Pturim come from the Ptura Mitaseh Asher Chataba. And the third case of Melachet Makhshevet, which is when you intended for Mechubar Zeh, and you got a Mechubar Acher, or in our situation where you intended for one tree, one fruit, and you ended up with the same fruit on a different tree, that still would be patur mitzad melechet makhshevet.
All right, we're going to stop here at the end of Yotet Amud Bet.